storms track where food and gas shortages occur and where you can get sandbags.
During the storm,
we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings.
Then after the storm,
we get you the information to help you recover from the storm
and help your neighbors.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I walked out this morning.
People are strange when you're a stranger.
You look like a lady.
That ain't no woman. It's a man, man.
Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why she walked like a woman.
Say, what's that? It's Pat.
When she got undressed, it was a big old mess. Sheena was a man.
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Why do you say you feel trapped in a man's body?
Well, sometimes I get the menstrual cramps real hard.
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Ha! That's it! Hold it right there! Pronoun trouble.
She comes in colors everywhere. She combs her hair.
Dr. Haygood, UCSF's classroom guide titled Framework for Gender and Sex Concepts in Teaching advises against using the term pregnant women. Instead, it says to use pregnant people. Who are pregnant people compared to pregnant women? Just curious.
So that is a part of a curriculum to help our students who are facing a wide diversity of patients. Of course, the vast majority of pregnancies are in women, and I have absolutely no problem with using the word pregnant women. I use it myself.
Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
A transgender person can.
That's not a biological woman. Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
I would reiterate,
it's ridiculous.
We take care of transgender patients.
What was the middle part that he said?
Of course, the vast majority of pregnancies are in women, and I have absolutely no problem with using the word pregnant women.
The vast majority is 100% the vast majority. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this was at a House hearing. This was last week. And this is Mary Miller, representative, is asking the question. The guy that you hear talking is Sam Hawgood. He is the UCSF, University of, San Francisco. That's right. University of California, San Francisco, chancellor. And answering questions, because they were all up there, and UCLA was up there, they were getting asked questions about their medical program and all of the, some of the elements of it, which were the gender stuff, the LGBTQIA+, or whatever, all of it, and just crazy things in the curriculum. And this was turning to a different candidate, Steve Dubinet, UCLA Medical School Dean.
Dr. Dubinet, a required course at UCLA Medical School, advises OBGYN students not to, and I quote, assume gender identity. Okay, from another class in May of 2026, it included a disclaimer that while it uses the term she and women, it does not intend to exclude, and I quote, those who have a uterus but do not identify with these terms. What does that even mean?
I'm not familiar with that announcement. I'd have to read the entire thing.
Okay, I hope that you go back and check it out. Can someone have a uterus but not be a woman? Because it seems like your school is promoting that ridiculous idea.
I think, again, as Dr. Hawgood has described, we're treating transgender people. But we're doing that in compliance with state and federal law.
And you do teach biology?
Yes, we do.
Yes. As my wife says, if it's got a Y, it's a guy.
Yes, this is curious. So I'm going to ask you again, can someone have a uterus and not be a woman? Just say yes or no. Can they?
Again, Again, I would need to.
That's what your medical school is promoting.
The gentlelady's
time is. Mr. Chairman, it's clear these medical schools are hiding DEI curriculum under the guise of medical access.
Gentlelady's time has expired.
And that's what this was ultimately about. It was the whole scope of woke ideology that is, for lack of a better word, impregnated all of these medical schools and is so constant across higher education. Now, you hear me sometimes talk about in Florida, you know, we've had this anti-DEI, anti-woke push, especially in higher ed, which as somebody who taught philosophy, college philosophy for 10 years, I saw this stuff in the early phases back in the late 90s. I saw what was, you know, and it wasn't new then. Higher education has been largely captured by the left for 40 years. They have been in charge, especially in the liberal arts curriculum. Leftism is dominant. Atheism is dominant. Anything but believing in America or being a Christian or even, you know, being devoutly religious, particularly with the monotheistic religion, or, you know, believing in the Constitution. All of that stuff, it's all like sort of, it's not popular. It's not in vogue. Okay, so in Florida, we've been making effort to try to reduce that and balance that out, which is how it should be. And this whole exercise is designed to show and try to bring some reforms in at some of these medical schools on some of these ridiculous subjects. Now, there's a whole other topic of this that's not specifically focused on the gender stuff, but has to do with the Smithsonian Museum. I'll get into that tomorrow. I don't have time to get into it today. Also really interesting. And like I said, it's an eye-opener. There's a little bit more on this because I want to back up in this same hearing and find out what this Steve Dubinet had to say earlier on some of these subjects. Because, again, it's just kind of, it's mind-blowing to hear these folks not get where they need to be on this and to, like, just not be able to give a straight answer. You remember some of the stuff around anti-Semitism at the universities when all of that was going on? And those folks lost their jobs because they couldn't give straight answers. I don't know that this is going to cost anybody their jobs, but, man, just be honest. Be straight. Answer the questions sincerely and without all of this obfuscation. I'll come back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 10, there's an accident, but it has been moved off to the right shoulder. Main and Barranca is still showing that railroad arm down, so that's blocking traffic, although people are just avoiding that area. There are plenty of side streets to get around. Traffic light at Blue Angel and Dog Track showing issues. Red, flashing red and flashing yellow. Yellow means you have right of way. In that case, slow down at the front gate of Pensacola NAS, backed up halfway across the bridge. Tree down still on Chemstrand. This is just north of 10 Mile Road. It looks like there's a tree down on Marcus Point behind the Tom Thumb, and that's blocking half the road. And then this is the same intersection, but it's different lights, and they're out. Light at Michigan and Mobile Highway is out, and Mobile Highway and Softly Field is out, too. So that needs to be treated like a four-way stop, even though there's several pieces of that intersection. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, please text it in. Candy with traffic on the 5, 6, and 7. It's a lot.
I wouldn't describe our current traffic light infrastructure as hardened based on where, but yeah, look, they're not designed to deal with a lot of rain, you know. So, and I know, you know, the county and the city are going to be out there trying to fix things as fast as they can. They're doing their work. It's a difficult thing. Oh, somebody had asked me whether ECUA is picking up today, trash today. And as far as I know, the answer is yes. I was chatting with Davis Wood, who is the new public information officer over there. And, you know, he said, as far as he knows, he's going to double check. But there's been no notice about that being changed. So, yes, expect that they will be if your cans didn't flood down the street. 718 on News Radio 92.3. That happens, too. How do you have five in your yard? Anyway, earlier in this hearing at the U.S. House, this was the name of the committee? I'm sorry, I don't remember it. But anyway, earlier on, you had Representative Virginia Fox asking questions about this same Dr. Steve Dubinet from the UCLA Medical School about some of the things that they have in their curriculum or have had in their curriculum.
One class session entitled, quote, colonialism and the role of medicine and race, end quote.
Colonialism and the role of medicine and race. All right, go on.
Medicine and race, end quote, included the theory that all capitalism is, quote, racial capitalism. Can you explain what racial capitalism is and why this theory was taught in a first-year medical school course?
No, Congresswoman. As I stated, this course was stopped long before this committee's inquiry, in that we determined that some of the content was not appropriate for a medical school curriculum. And so,
why was it begun to start with?
Good question.
The intent of this was to address the social determinants of health, which are important and required in medical education.
So the way to teach people about the social determinants of health are how culture, society, and sometimes race can all work together in affecting people's beliefs about healthcare and their practices. That began with a class about colonialism and the racial capitalism. You know, I'm glad they got rid of the course, or glad they got rid of that element of it at least, but, you know, that it was ever there in the first place is a minor concern.
Then I'm going to jump ahead. Do you believe the word obesity is a slur? Is the concept of obesity used to exact violence on fat people?
No.
Well, the UCLA Medical School's required first-year DEA class taught both claims in a required reading. Do you still do that?
The course has been eliminated.
Okay.
But how did it ever get to be a course in the first place, where you're teaching that obesity is a slur and a cover for violence?
Can you explain how teaching first-year medical students about colonialism and race helps them provide the best health outcomes for their future patients?
Our goal is to have a content that is scientifically based.
Just say no!
Clinically relevant and important for the realities of patient care. It is important that among that the students understand the social drivers of health and be able to help their patients no matter who they are.
Could you imagine if he just said, you know what, this is really stupid. We've rooted it out. We won't do it again. You're right. It's absurd. I mean, isn't that the answer you should give if you were just going to be a person? What am I always saying? Just be a person. Talk plainly. My advice to people in the media, just be a person. My advice to communications people, just be a person. Say the thing the way it needs to be said and say it right.
So, Dr. Dubinet, another structural racism and health equity course lauded the Young Lords and Black Panther Party, both radical violent groups, for being unique and extraordinary. It described both as role models for UCLA's structural racism and health equity curriculum. Are the Young Lords and Black Panther Parties appropriate role models for medical students?
Well, as I mentioned, as I mentioned, well before this committee's inquiry, we determined that some of its content was not appropriate for a medical school curriculum.
So, answer the question: are they appropriate role models for medical students? Yes or no?
No.
Yes, thank goodness he actually said that. You know, when you're overly calm in the face of these things and you take the HAL 9000 approach to answering all of your questions, it makes you sound like a sociopath. It makes you sound like you're crazy. Well, we have been looking into the... be a person. It's infuriating to hear some of this stuff. And the only reason I bring this up, you know me, I don't do a lot on national stuff. Local politics and local issues, and that's what we focus on a lot. But I wanted you to hear some of this stuff because when people say higher education has been captured by the left, or the arts, or the humanities, or museums have been intellectually taken over, have been colonized by the socialists and the communists and the Marxists and the folks who believe in DEI and, you know, all of that stuff, the critical race theory people. They're not exaggerating. That's true. It doesn't mean there are no conservatives, but there aren't many. And they have to hide. They have to be kind of closeted about it. I had a really good friend who was, you know, a conservative Christian social work professor in Arizona. And, you know, he was the only one and barely allowed to function in that role and had a lot of opposition because of it. Why? Because the whole rest of the field is dominated by this leftist ideology. So do we want people to be educated? Do we want them to hear both or all of the sides? Or do we want them to be indoctrinated and usually with public funding? I picked the first one. That's what college is supposed to be. That's why I thought it was kind of hilarious whenever I would sometimes get in trouble at schools for, you know, being a conservative Christian who taught contrary views and taught all the views, but at least represented, you know, the views of kind of my people. And the students loved it. And then I'd get brought in before the dean of the philosophy college or whatever and be like, Andrew, what are you teaching? I'm like, you know, different viewpoints. Well, you can't say that kind of stuff about, you know, being gay. Well, why not? Well, because, you know, it's upsetting to some people. Yeah, I'm like, but it's also a good rational analysis of the issue. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's really this group of people, these professors who are so entitled about their ability to say whatever they want to say in the classroom, are so sure of their own truth that they take it as a violence against them to even question the validity and the merits of their radical leftism. Like they might be doing something wrong. They're so sure of their own rightness. Now, this is not all professors. This is not in every program, but it is endemic. It is really a problem in most schools, even in ones, I hate to say it, but, you know, I think that a good examination needs to take place at UWF and certainly at the rest of the schools in Florida to root some of this stuff out. And so, though I disagree with some of the things that have been done, even here locally, and in Florida, I think a lot of it is very healthy. And these hearings kind of show the same problems again and again and again. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy has traffic on the fives.
Speaking of same problems, the light at Michigan and Mobile and Mobile and Stompley Field. And again, it's the same intersection, but big lights. Be careful. That's supposed to be a four-way stop because those lights, as I'm getting word, are completely out still. Two trees down, one on Marcus Point behind the Tom Thumb and the other one on Chemstrand. That's north of 10 Mile. I-10 to 110, there's an accident that has been moved to the right shoulder. Main and Barrancas, that railroad arm is down still, so that's blocking area. But there's plenty of side streets to get around. Traffic on at Blue Angel and Dog Track showing issues and a slowdown at the front gate of Pensacola NAS. If you have any, if you see any accidents or slowdowns or street closures or whatever, let us know. 437-1620. Please text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
I've never seen you with so many notes for your traffic.
I do.
But there's
I just
so
don't
many.
Screw
yeah,
it up. Yeah, there's a lot going on. So. Please be extra careful.
No, you're doing great work. You're always doing great work, but you're doing great this morning. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality, almost new cars. Cars that are 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. They warranty everything to 10 years or 100,000, 10,000 miles, 100,000 miles or 10 years. And they follow up with you afterwards. At least they did with me 6 months and a year after I bought the car to make sure everything was cool. And then there was one little problem that they solved on their dime because that's how they do. And my point about that is like, a lot of people, you feel like they're just trying to make sure that they see you one time, they sell you the car, that they got you, and then they never have to deal with you again. Frontier's like, we want to help. We're here to help. We want to make sure that you enjoy what you got, and we want it to treat you well. And it's a different relationship. It's a different way of doing car buying. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
And just real quick, that light is now working at Mobile Highway in Softly Field.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve. And of course, we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola. Darrell Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call them today, 850-438-5444. Darrell Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Buggy Works, the largest golf cart dealer on the Gulf Coast, is leveling up. Headquartered in Pensacola, now serving Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, and Lake Barton, and proud to help the entire coast ride in style. All the top brands, all in one place. Whether you want luxury, lifted, street-ready, family-friendly, or a fully customized build, your next ride is waiting. Premium carts, in stock, and ready to deliver. Visit BuggyWorks.com. That's BuggyWorks.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All right, so here we are. It's 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have DC Reeves in studio for a one-hour town hall taking your texts, your questions. Feel free to start texting those questions in right now. He'll answer as many as we can get to, which usually we can get to almost all of it. Coming up next, David Wayne, I've given you no time whatsoever, but he'll be up next with local news, Bertha updates, which most of the storm has passed us. The water's receding for the most part.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. 11th straight night of U.S. airstrikes on Iran, targeting various sites, this time reaching deeper into the Islamic Republic. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met China's foreign minister today in the Philippines, saying Iran's in trouble.
They're facing hyperinflation, runaway inflation, high food costs. These are all pre-existing. They've all gotten worse. They've suffered a tremendous amount of damage to their military infrastructure.
Tropical storm Bertha expected to make landfall today.
Gulf of America furious here. It's trekking toward the finger of Louisiana, and that is south of New Orleans, about 75 miles. Venice, Port Sulphur, Grand Isle. Impacts expected to happen later this afternoon there, but already seeing them here this morning on this barrier island.
Fox Weather's Robert Ray, about 40 miles south of Mobile, Alabama. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 82 degrees right now with cloudy skies, and we will check in with Channel 3 for our forecast. That's up here in about 3 minutes. Well, a Pensacola Beach nonprofit keeping close watch over sea turtle nests as Tropical Storm Bertha continues moving through the Gulf. Gulf Coast Turtle Watch has been monitoring 26 nests along the beach, checking hourly for standing water and washouts. Volunteers do say the big risk is water sitting in the nests for too long, more so than eggs washing away. The FWC says anybody who spots exposed eggs or hatchlings should leave them alone and call the wildlife hotline for guidance. Well, deputies are searching for suspects in a string of armed robberies at the Tradewind Food Mart on Patricia Drive. Those robberies happened last Friday, then again last Sunday, with several suspects armed with handguns reportedly fleeing towards a nearby apartment complex after one of the incidents. The sheriff's office has released photos of those suspects. They're asking anybody with information to contact Crime Stoppers. Well, Pensacola native Keela Richardson is coming home for a concert at the Sanger Theater this month. It will be on July 25th. Richardson finished third on this season's American Idol, and the show is being billed as a hometown celebration of music, faith, and community. Tickets for that are on sale now. Well, you've probably seen signs at Navarre Beach that say not to park on the dunes. Santa Rosa County commissioners say, though, that they don't have an official ordinance on the books, so they haven't been able to enforce it. Commissioner Ray Eddington wants to correct that with a new ordinance. County staff says they're also going to have to put out a bid for a towing contractor.
We had conversations with the chief deputy about this, and the one thing that he stated was obviously the signage and aligning with an ordinance, but that we needed to go out and procure a towing service. And it needed to be clear on the sign that your vehicle will be towed in accordance with the ordinance.
Jared Lowe, the assistant county administrator, and he said relying on the Florida Highway Patrol's towing rotation just isn't a viable long-term option, since regular enforcement would put a strain on that system. Eddington also asked staff to look into an ordinance to stop RV owners from parking on the street. A draft ordinance is expected to come back before commissioners at a future meeting. Well, Pensacola State College has promoted Carolyn Powell to head coach of its softball program after 10 years as an assistant. Powell helped the Pirates win 2 Panhandle Conference championships and developed dozens of all-conference and all-American players. She's coached collegiately across 3 states and internationally in the Netherlands before joining PSC in 2016. Powell says her goal is building a program focused on discipline and resilience both on and off the field.
And it is 7:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Again, right now it's 81 degrees with cloudy skies. And checking in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
All right, it looks like that light at Michigan and Mobile Highway and Mobile Highway and Southley Field. I know, same intersection, but those lights are working again, so you shouldn't have any problem getting down through that intersection. Tree down on Marcus Point behind the Tom Thumb. We're looking at a tree down on Kemp Strand too. This is north of 10 Mile. And then I-10, I-110 showing an accident, but it has been moved off to the right shoulder. Still showing the railroad arm down, the railroad arm, rather, at Main and Barrancas. So that's blocking stuff. And then a slow ride into Pensacola NAS as it's backed up a little bit over the bridge. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
We are under a tropical storm warning as we will still see some rounds of heavy rain followed by periods of cloudy skies and some breezy conditions along the coastline as tropical storm Bertha continues to move to our south. Highs near 90 degrees still today. Overnight, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Thursday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 90 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. And going into Friday, 20% chance of rain, high near 91. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 82 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock. And breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Kalshi, along with groups representing the casino and online sports betting industries, are all increasing lobbying spending. In the first half of 2026, Kalshi, the largest prediction market platform in the U.S., spent $990,000 directly on lobbying, just short of the $1 million spent in all of 2025. OpenAI said it has appointed longtime financial executives David Velez and Robin Vince to its nonprofit and for-profit boards. Velez is CEO of Nubank, the largest digital bank in Latin America, and Vince runs financial services company BNY. Shares of Supermicrocomputer jumped 15% after the server maker said it now sees higher margins than previously projected for the June quarter, with a surge in new orders. The company said its gross margin and adjusted gross margin should come in between 15 and 17%. That's a step up from the range of 8.2 to 8.4% that management provided in May. Futures have dropped this morning as oil prices rise. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
At FPL, we plan for storm season all year long. We're strengthening poles to better withstand severe weather. We're clearing lines to improve resiliency, and we're constantly training teams to act at a moment's notice. Because we're always working, always preparing. So when storms do hit, you can count on us. Learn more at fpl.com/storm. FPL, working for you every single day.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxton-Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxton-Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxton-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio, we do this about once a quarter, I think. We usually wind up doing this every 3 months or so. We have Mayor D.C. Reeves in studio to basically not answer my questions, but to answer your questions on, I mean, open game, any subject. Now, it's not public forum. If you want to be Larry Downs Jr. complain about COVID-19, I mean, not really relevant. But if it's city business, if it's related to his job, or if it's something he wants to answer, like my lightning round type questions, you know, he's open. Fair game. D.C., welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
There we go. Hold on. One more time. There we go.
And take two. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always the way this board is all set up, and with these
microphones.
It's designed to confuse people. So it's not well done. But anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. Anything at all on your mind whatsoever? I just ask one question to kind of get us started. And we'll have him for an hour until 8:30. So, you know, we have time to answer your questions. The storm, obviously, which, you know, we all knew was not going to be some major event, but still, it's, you know, if it affects you, it affects you, right?
Yeah. And listen, I think this type of event is a net positive for our citizens because it's a test run for us, right? We dust off the protocol, the SOPs, our firefighters are out there. Police was out there. We had a great meeting on Monday morning. We got all the storm drains cleaned out. Just, hey, anytime you get something where we don't have to have any negative impact, but we get a chance to test it, if God forbid, that we start to see more activity through the end of this summer and into the fall, then I think that's a net good thing. So we what I can tell our citizens is we certainly took advantage of that. We ran it as if it was a Category 1, Category 2, and went through that process and got everything cleaned out and ready to go. So your team responded, and fortunately, we didn't need it.
We probably got more rain on Sunday than we've gotten since
then.
Right. The new Palafox is still going strong with the new stormwater management system.
Yeah, it's obviously become a new hobby of people at City Hall, you know, either David Stafford or I. We've had, as I'm sure you guys have been sharing in the last couple of months, we've had some pretty big rain events just for it to be a non-hurricane type of event.
Right.
And it's still there. It hasn't floated away. So that's a good thing.
All right. Very good. So we got some questions coming in, 437-1620. Any update on the professional soccer coming to Pensacola?
Yeah. So we've had some good conversations. Where the sticking point is right now is the USL model, which I believe in this philosophy, is really built around a downtown stadium. It's not really built around putting one out, you know, in the suburbs or making its
like
own location.
Like OLF8 is not the kind of location they're looking for.
Correct. I mean, okay. The idea is there's the development around it that kind of makes it an all-day event. That is the model that they continue to replicate throughout the country. And again, I'm in agreement with that. That's difficult to find right now.
Yeah.
And there's two hurdles. One is the dirt itself. Where would a stadium like that go?
Mm-hmm.
And number two is the bed tax, in essence, at least philosophically, is spoken for at this point. The bonding of the bed tax for a greater priority, which is the Bay Center. So because naturally we're going to move to step two, which is how would we pay for a soccer stadium? How would the city participate? Even though we don't know at what level, we're not anywhere near there. Because you'd talk to the ownership group, you'd talk to the league. But, I mean, listen, we would be have our head in the sand if we thought that if a new facility would come in that there wouldn't be some government participation, right? It's not going to be privately funded 100%. So I think dirt was number one. And then the idea that the spoken-for bed tax with the Bay Center Convention Center conversation is number two. However, one thing that I'm going to start looking into is – it's one of those middle of the night moments where you're like, well, wait a second. We have a 16-year-old stadium downtown.
Community Maritime Park was the question I had.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You have developable property controlled by the city, not by private entities that could help offset any costs with rent and development to happen around there. So you've got the developability of contiguous parcels or, you know, next to or adjacent parcels. We have a 16-year-old stadium. We have, I believe, 5 years left on the Wahoos lease.
Okay.
Well, when it's time to renew with the Wahoos, certainly, like every team in the country, they're going to come and say, we need new seats. We need.
Right, right.
So we already know that there's going to be some type of renovation coming, and it's about that time. And so now I'm thinking, well, why don't we put, can we kill lots of birds with one stone and maybe look at making it a permanently mixed-use facility.
Okay, so if you expanded Wahoo Stadium to become a joint hybrid baseball slash soccer.
Yes, and what's important to me, and this is probably my sports journalism background, I couldn't allow myself to just do a soccer field can fit and we can throw some bleachers in the other
side.
Right,
a halfway kind of, let's just shoehorn it into something that's not really made for it.
And this is, there is precedent. There's at least five or six stadiums, Everett, Washington, Knoxville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, that have done this exact thing where they have a minor league baseball team and a USL soccer team. You might need some exceptions on the length of the field, the width of the field. And anybody listening out there that says, well, wait a second, we played UWF football games. But the problem is that goes east and west. In soccer, that is a no-no. You don't want to be the goalie looking into the sun during the game.
Got it. Makes sense. You'd mentioned that before in a press conference or something or with me or whatever. Yeah.
So it would really take turning the field where now the back of the goal would be kind of where the scoreboard is, you know, down the right field line. And, I mean, you'd have to figure that out, which would take more than just moving some walls around. So
not to play geometry on the air, but it seems like a baseball stadium – can be converted either direction just as easily. I mean, it's basically a square, you know. Yeah. So that's in the maybe zone.
I think the next step for us would be some type of feasibility study where we would have someone who's designed one of these before come in and say, hey,
here's what it would take.
Yeah, we looked at the drawings. We looked at this is about what it would take. This is what you could do. I think that's how we would dip our toe in there. Mm-hmm. To answer the ultimate question, certainly soccer is still a very real thing, but we've got to solve this bigger
issue. That portion of it.
Yeah,
especially with the scarcity of TDT money available. Exactly. Okay, all right, fair enough. We're talking to DC Reeves. He's here in studio for the next hour taking your texts on any subject you want to ask him about whatsoever. 437-1620. Candy has traffic on the fives.
Right, and this is brought to you by choosing the team of the Legacy Lambert Moving System. Visit golambertteam.com. And as far as our roads go, we're watching a few incidents. Traffic light at Blue Angel and Dog Track seems to be showing issues. Slow down at the front gate, Pensacola NAS. Tree down on Chemstrand. That's north of 10 Mile this morning. It looks like the lights at Mobile and Michigan and Mobile and Softly Field are, in fact, working again. Shouldn't have any problems there. Tree down on Marcus Point behind the Tom Thumb, blocking half the road. I-10 to 110, showing an accident, but that has been moved off to the right shoulder. And Main and Barrancas, that railroad arm, is still down. Certainly use caution wherever you are. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know and text in 437-1620 alongside your questions to Mayor D.C. Reeves. This is brought to you by White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates available, whitesandselectric.com. Candy with traffic on the fives.
All right, back to Mayor D.C. Reeves, who's here in studio. Text me your questions, 437-1620. Mayor, this is going to both twist you up and break your heart.
Oh, no.
This is, okay. Question for D.C. I think it's in the tone. What flippin' color are the signs on City of Pensacola parking spots? I thought I was parked in a city lot, had my handicap placard displayed. When I came out, there was a $47 ticket. I contested it. They dropped it to $15 and added a $4 service charge. So honestly, where in the city can I park and display my placard and not get a ticket? Both infuriating and heartbreaking because this is so simple.
Not at the expense of this particular person, but I always love when this comes up because one of the biggest misperceptions with city parking, if you have a handicap placard, I don't care where you live, this is not for city residents only, Santa Rosa County, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola Beach, if you have a valid handicap placard, you can park in any city space free of charge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Any space, not any handicap space.
Any space.
Make sure it's visible, that we can see it so that when a parking attendant comes by. But you can park in any space that you want. By the cost of a $47 ticket, that usually tells me it's a private lot.
Yep.
Side note, the good news is the black and white signs are now up.
Oh, they've been installed.
Some of the private lots,
okay.
Yeah, that says this is not a government lot.
Did you make them yellow like the shape of a boot?
No, I did have the better judgment of not putting at the bottom, do not call the mayor or the city administrator. We did take that out. I thought that was, a good pause by us. But
you get on the parking issue, you get blame by people like me who disagree with you. And then you get blame by people that just got in the wrong place for things you absolutely don't deserve any blame for. It's crazy, but blue lots are fine.
Yes.
Blue signs are fine. Every other sign, which is typically red, not the city.
Yes, and I can tell you, this is how much we get into it. There are studies about when we put a new sign up, about where people's eyes go, like a heat map. Like,
yeah,
think
yeah.
about like a,
you know, how your brain decodes it. Right.
Yeah. And so we the new signs that will come out October 1st, they're still same color. It's that light blue, you know, any blue signs, green, red, all of that. Anything that's not blue is not a city owned space. But it we're even going so far as I even added a city. There's like the P for parking. And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a city above it, like okay. on the signs. We want it to be as blatant as possible
yeah.
because it's more affordable. We're coming back with more. You will hear a bunch about this. I know we've talked about it. We're coming back with senior permits. Same thing. Anybody in the area, not just city residents,
yeah.
over 65, $10 a month. It'll be on your license plate. You don't even need to get your phone out. So you'll be able to pull right into a on-street space and walk away as if you were in your own driveway. And so I think that
you can call it the Park and Walker program.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We'll steal that. We'll license that from
I'm
you.
I'm sorry. Bay Bluffs, why is this taking so long?
Yeah, great question. We asked the same thing in our building. First of all, we're grateful to get $2.2 million from the state and DEP. This is a perfect example when we talk about property tax. There isn't $2.2 million sitting around just in case there's an emergency closure of a park, right? We had to go find this right. money. The downside of grants, and this is of no fault of DEP or Tallahassee, the downside of almost every grant is there is a ton of paperwork that needs to take place. And that's why we're so blessed to have gotten more than $200 million now awarded to the city. And you think about our general
fund.
Not
for this, but across all the grants.
Across all
right.
the grants. But you get excited when you get the email, and then you know you got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this particular case.
Because getting it. The time, the process, and then satisfying the requirements of verification involved in using a grant, all of that beginning front, beginning, middle, and end, right?
That's right. And so in this particular case, with this one grant, for example, we got awarded it close to 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and by no delay on our side, they needed paperwork, they got paperwork. The bottom line is we weren't even given permission to use 1 cent of it, not 1 cent until April 21st of this year.
Mm.
So, you know, it's July right now. So we've been sitting there twiddling our thumbs, you know, making noises, waving our hands to say, guys, we'd love to get this going. So it's absolutely necessary for us to wait. If we spent any money on any day prior to April 21st, then that would have been on the taxpayer in the city. There, there's no reimbursement. So it's like, hey, mayor, why didn't you just start working on this, that, or the other since you knew you had the money? Not allowed per the grant rules. So you cannot expend $1 of it until you get that clearance on April 21st. So bottom line is where our feet are is we've got HDR on board. We're going through the full structural design, all of that. That'll go through the fall. The goal would be RFP for construction in the spring.
Okay.
So construction will begin. I can guarantee you that next year. But we got to know what we want to have and how far does $2 million go? And I've been tempering expectations.
Right.
We are not building a new community center at Bay Bluffs Park. We're, you know, $2 million is not a lot of money in the grant. When you're building stuff into an eroding bluff, that's not going to go real far. I don't
right.
think. I just want to be, I want to temper expectations. But nonetheless, $2 million is great. And we had zero. So you will get some new amenity. You'll get probably some new experiences down there, and we'll see what parts we can salvage and save, what parts we can't.
We have DC Reeves in studio with me until 8:30, taking your text on any subject whatsoever, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Some things can steal your sunshine. Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Scanning County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board, District 3.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
How am I supposed to fit in with these guys when you've got me set up as an outsider? You've given me a different set of rules. The answer is, I can't. I mean, really, why didn't you just issue me a pink petticoat to wear around the base?
Did you just have a brain fart?
Welcome back. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got Mayor D.C. Reeves here in studio for an hour until 8:30 with a kind of radio town hall answering your texts, 437-1620. Before we get back to the mayor, we've got Candy with traffic on the fives.
So now we're hearing that the light at Michigan and Mobile and light at Mobile and Softly Field is now showing yellow on one side, red on the other. That means yellow does have right-of-way. If you're moving through that intersection, use caution there and caution wherever you are. Traffic light at Blue Angel and Dog Track sounds like it's doing the same thing. Tree down on Chemstrand, that's north of 10 Mile. And there's another accident. This is on the interstate, it looks like. And as you're making your way around town, watch out for I-10 eastbound, mile marker 8. It is backed up quite a ways as you approach the spur. Use caution in that area. 437-1620, if you see that accident or slow down, it's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Candy. Yeah. Okay, Mayor, we got a text here. I'm not sure what this question is asking, but I know you'll have an answer to what you think they might be getting at. The question is, when is Addicts Court going to move to where the old Baptist hospital is being torn down? Is this some rumor online or something?
That's correct. I think a lot of this started with the Fricker Center that, by the way, the city government has zero role in where public housing. That's a completely different board.
Okay.
And so that was
this is one of these social media rumors
when Fricker Center went in that Addicts Court was going to move. Anything about Addicts Court, Marino Court, any of the public housing projects, they have their own complete separate board, separate governing body, and all of that.
And not moving.
No one has notified us that actually has control over that Addicts Court is moving at this point.
Also, in the long run, although there is an intent to develop a mixture of housing on the site where Baptist sits right now.
Correct.
We are in the not even yet deciding anything phase with that. And it will certainly not become some massive public housing project, at least not if you and the rest of the city council have anything to say about it.
Yes, that's correct. If that could be confused anywhere, it's that, yes, housing, mixed income housing,
right,
all sorts of opportunity will happen at Baptist. But that is there's zero correlation between the existence of Addicts Court on Cervantes Street and the Baptist project.
Very good. Oh, somebody did say city parking is red. Is real blue signs and I'm sorry I said it out loud. And the zone numbers are only two digits. Private lots have four or more digits. Is that right for zone numbers?
That is
right. Okay.
Two digits. Small note. Yep. That's a good delineator.
Very good. Let's see. Is there a new Publix coming downtown?
There is.
We have 40 seconds.
Okay. Spring and Garden, where the Waverly, the old USO arches are.
Yeah.
Which will be saved, by the way. But there'll be a Publix and some restaurant retail on the corner of Spring and Garden, which I think is a good thing. It starts to drag not just Palafox, not just Balin.
Yeah.
But we start to get some more extension of public facing uses.
Well, for all of those residences, now we'll have, you know, grocery stores are a massively important service, right? So having that available.
Yep.
And will the old school building frontage also stay? Main Street?
Yeah, anything that's there that was meant to
historical
be preserved will be staying in this development as well.
Right, I figured yes, but, you know, it's kind of question. If we don't ask it, somebody's going to ask me later. All right, we have more questions for the mayor coming up in just a minute. Like I said, we've got him until 8:30 this morning. So text me your questions, 437-1620. I know a lot of the questions coming in are things that – he gets asked all the time and has no power over, like reopening the Grand Hotel. But we'll talk about it. You know, whatever's on your mind.
Hey, happy to talk about it. Yeah.
You know, we've covered it, but that's important because people don't know and they want to learn.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola. The U.S.